Today is Saturday, January 15th. By now, you've probably heard of the Great Resignation. We've talked about it several times in the news as workers quit their jobs at record rates. But what's the reason behind all those people quitting? It may be burnout. A recent study by Limeade, an organization that researches and hopes to improve employee well-being, blames burnout as the top reason people are resigning. And the American Psychological Association also reports burnout levels are at an all-time high. So we're talking with two experts today, starting with Dr. Monica Johnson. She's a clinical psychologist and the host of the Savvy Psychologist podcast. She'll explain how to identify, prevent, and deal with worker burnout. We discuss the difference between just feeling tired and actual burnout, as well as what she calls your mental health bank. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Dr. Monica Johnson, thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you.
So first, I just want to get your take on what worker burnout is. How would you describe it?
A simple definition of burnout is it's physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion, and it's caused by excessive and longstanding stress.
What's the difference between actual burnout versus feeling tired or unmotivated in your job?
With feeling just tired or unmotivated, these are usually temporary states. Like you wake up and you're having a bad day, or you know, you have a really stressful week because of an important deadline that's coming up. Whereas burnout is really a gradual process. It doesn't happen overnight. The symptoms slowly creep in.
And what would you say are some of the main symptoms that don't go away?
So the symptoms can hit, I would say, three main categories. You can have behavioral signs of burnout, which can be things like trying to back out or avoiding certain responsibilities, isolating yourself from other people. You might notice that you're procrastinating a lot more than you normally would. You may also be a lot more irritable and have more anger, like lashing out in anger and things like that. You may also find excuses to skip work or skip certain activities that you would normally engage in. And some people may see an increase in their use of substances. So this could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could also be overeating with food. From the emotional standpoint, a lot of times people will start to feel detached from their work and also sometimes from other people as well. You also will quite often notice like a decrease in satisfaction just overall. It can be in your job, but you may also notice it in other areas as well. People will often report feeling trapped, defeated, overwhelmed, helpless. You also may have a lot of internal like criticism and feelings of like self-doubt or failure. And there's definitely an overall change in your motivation level. From the physical standpoint, you can also see a lot of this in your body as far as headaches. I have patients that have things like IBS or psoriasis, and they will see these conditions start to worsen when they're in a period of burnout. You can also see a lowered immune system from the just consistent stress. And so that can lead to just more frequent illnesses.
Do you think that the pandemic has had an impact or increased the instances of people feeling burnt out?
Absolutely. One of the ways that I try to conceptualize this for my patients is through this concept of like a mental health bank. Everything in life is either deposits or withdrawals. And so when you look at something like the pandemic, it is a consistent, huge withdrawal from your emotional and mental like resources. And if you don't have appropriate coping skills to kind of put more deposits in and be aware of the signs and symptoms of burnout, then it will kind of take you out in a lot of ways.
And I would imagine that burnout tends to impact marginalized groups of people, such as people of color, more often. Can you speak on that?
Sure. I mean, marginalized groups can be impacted a lot more, particularly in the work setting, because there may not be a lot of representation. So oftentimes when I'm working with patients, a lot of times they may be the only Black person or the only gay person that works on their team. So there can be like a level of feeling like an outsider in those environments, and also having to deal with sometimes tokenism. Sometimes you're in situations where there are policies in place or a culture that feels like it is persistently against you as a person. And so you have to figure out how to navigate those situations interpersonally, which again takes a lot of resources to do.
So let's talk about prevention and recovery. So first, how can we prevent ourselves from going down a path that leads to burnout?
The first step is to be mindfully aware of like your signs and symptoms. It's good to like make a notation of these things, actually write it down so you can be aware of it. And you have to make a commitment to actually taking care of yourself. One of the most basic things that I tell my patients to do is use all of your PTO. Take this time for yourself. Be mindful about what you need to recuperate, because you will need different things at different times. You know, sometimes you need a staycation where you're just at home reading a book, getting caught up on kind of household things and just being mellow. And other times you need something like actually traveling to a place and engaging in something that's exciting. You really want to pay attention to what your needs are, because if you do the wrong thing, that'll actually make your burnout worse. And what I mean by that is, if you do too much social activity, that will drain your system if that's not the type of rest that you need. You also want to think about just basic health behaviors. How often are you working out? Do you have a pretty good diet? Are you avoiding mood altering substances? All of these things will make a big difference. Sleep is also a big one. So those are the primary things you can do to prevent burnout.
And what about recovery? I imagine some of it is the same, but anything in addition that you would do if you're already in a state of burnout?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is going to be the same. I think with the recovery process, the thing that I'll let people know is that if you're engaging in these behaviors, you also have to give it time. The best case for burnout is to prevent it, because once burnout sets in, depending on the person and what other factors you have going on, for instance, if you have actual mental health concerns like depression or anxiety, you know, as far as the recovery period, it may take longer than, you know, just one vacation. You may be actively working on kind of digging yourself out of the hole for a few months. So you want to be mindfully aware of that. And just because it doesn't work immediately, that doesn't mean that the processes that you're engaging in are not going to work for you in the long run.
If a person's job is causing them to feel burnt out and there's nothing on their personal level that they can do to change that, how would you recommend they handle the situation?
So anytime I'm working with someone, one, I look at like, is there a possibility of an exit? Can you get another job? Do you have enough savings that if you quit, you know, it'd be okay for a few months for you to look for something else? I would strongly encourage that anyone who is in a stressor, that there is not an immediate way out of it, that you get support. This can be professional support, like a person like myself, like a psychologist, but it can also be reaching out to your social support networks, like your family and your friends.
Still ahead, you'll hear from someone who was impacted so much by burnout himself that he turned his experience into part of his career. James Nicholas Kinney is a global diversity and marketing executive, author, and speaker. He's helped dozens of companies as a consultant and is the chairman of The Force, which says it's the first initiative bringing the world's top brands together to solve societal problems through business. He's sharing his advice about how both employees and employers can create healthier work environments to help reverse the trends of both burnout and turnover. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Mama Zen. I believe in the philosophy that we have to take care of ourselves in order to be our best for anyone else. I can't be the best mom I want to be if I'm overly stressed out or full of worry. So the Mama Zen app is one way I make sure I'm checking in with myself and dealing with any feelings of anxiety, anger, guilt, or impatience that pop up before they impact my behavior. Mama Zen uses science-based techniques that will change how you react to your children and certain situations. They have short mind power sessions from just 2 to 18 minutes, like one I listened to recently called I'm Becoming a Better Mother with Each New Day. It's a good reminder that I don't have to be perfect and I'm learning. You don't need to use Mama Zen daily to get results either. Even once a week can do the trick. I want you to try Mama Zen and see for yourself how much better you can feel as a mom. Go to your App Store or Google Play and download Mama Zen today. That's Mama Zen, M-A-M-A-Z-E-N. Right now, you can use promo code NEWS, and that code will unlock your free 30-day trial so you can try Mama Zen for yourself. This episode is also brought to you by Stitch Fix. A new year always reminds me to reset a bit, even in small ways. And one way I do that is to go through my closet, donate some stuff, and buy new staples and outfits that I'll actually enjoy wearing. Whether that's for working out, working from home but still wanting to feel put together, or getting a bit more dressed up. And Stitch Fix Freestyle has some great options in a shop that's built just for me. There are a bunch of brands to choose from, so I like that I can find and try new brands. In fact, with Stitch Fix Freestyle, you can shop over 1,000 brands and styles personalized to your size and fit. Because Stitch Fix knows your style is not one size fits all. It's about what suits your body and what suits the moment. What you needed in 2019 is probably very different than what you might need in 2022. Plus, there is no subscription required, and they offer free shipping, returns, and exchanges. So get started today by filling out your style quiz at stitchfix.com/newsworthy. That's stitchfix.com/newsworthy to try Stitch Fix Freestyle. stitchfix.com/newsworthy. Okay, now here's my conversation with James Kinney. Hi, James. Thank you so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Erica, thanks so much for having me. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I appreciate that. So I know you've described yourself as a survivor of many toxic workplaces. I would love for you to briefly explain what you went through and how that impacted you.
Yeah, well, the first one in particular was an environment that was a high-pressure sales environment in ad sales, because I'm still in advertising. But we had weekly metrics and weekly goals that we had to meet. And just being under constant pressure is no way to have any sort of healthy or holistic lifestyle. So after months and months and months of a culture that copes with that stress by overeating, by alcohol, by drugs, that was the place that I worked. I didn't partake in any of the drugs, but the food and the alcohol was a really big part of it. And then I spiraled into anxiety and depression as a way to cope. And when I went to my HR at that time, which there wasn't really HR there, there was someone who was an office manager. No one knew how to deal with it and basically told me to go home and take a nap, you know, as if that were the solution. So I just had to get out of that environment in order to really save myself.
How did you first recognize the problem? Because sometimes I wonder if people even realize they're burnt out or in kind of a toxic culture.
I just didn't feel right. And I started to notice my behavior change over time. I started to withdraw from public events and from public things. And it really just accumulated over time.
Some companies have tried to prevent burnout by offering maybe more paid time off. What do you make of that strategy? And is it enough?
Paid time off is actually a really good idea, but it has to be frequent and regular breaks.
What's other advice now for both leaders to help prevent the burnout and to employees who may be dealing with it?
Mental health burnout and overall wellness is a hybrid solution, meaning that the person and the individual has to want to change, has to know what a healthy lifestyle is for them. But then the organization really has to reinforce that. And that's where regular PTO meetings and meeting cadences and meeting schedules and the infrastructure within the business is important to reinforce the successful deployment of self-help. So it takes both. And then the third part of that is that leaders embody it. If you see the CEO that takes the day off when everyone else takes the day off, or it matters to them, then it's okay to matter to everyone else.
It's common for people to say, oh, I don't want to go into work tomorrow. I would love to just kind of hear your take again, why you think worker burnout has gotten more attention and become more of a concern now.
Worker burnout has been here, but the fact that we all had to work from home for 18 months and we saw ourselves on screens, no one was used to staring at themselves for this many hours across these many days. For the first time, people got to see themselves as like, oh my God, all that I do is work. If it was in the office, because you didn't have that mirror in front of you at all times, it was happening, but it wasn't exacerbated by literally the mirror effect of what Teams and Zoom and online conferencing has done.
Here in the U.S., we've seen record numbers of people quitting their job. It's been called the Great Resignation. How much do you think burnout is playing a part in that?
Burnout means different things to different people. It's psychological, it's emotional, it's physical, it's financial, it's a lot of things. But burnout is the contributor to why they are leaving. I mean, people are saying, I will take unpaid leave. Don't even want the money. I just need a break.
Final thought or takeaway for our audience.
There's going to be some outliers that are courageous and bold enough to redesign and restructure their business in a way that truly serves the people and delivers profit. And the employers who are able to do that, I think will be a great talent magnet for attracting talent. And I think that they'll make record profits. When we can get to that place, I really think we're going to see a better world, because working is pretty much what we do in America. I mean, it's, you know, 75% of all of our year is dedicated to work. So I think we'll see a better nation, a better workplace, and a better society off of reengineering what work looks like.
Thanks to both of our guests for sharing their expertise. Be sure to tune in every weekday for our regular episodes. We bring you the news in a quick 10-minute roundup that'll help you start your day. We'll be back on Monday with that. Until then, have a great weekend.